recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Game, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation's Titans reporter and host of Nate and TD. TD, what's going on, man? How you doing this morning?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Appreciate you having me on. How you doing?
Doing really well. And TD, I want to start with the most viral moment of the week so far for the Titans, and that, of course, is the Derrick Henry stiff arm on Josh Norman. What was your reaction when you saw that play live? Have you ever seen a more disrespectful moment in NFL history?
No, that was one of the most disrespectful moments I've ever seen. It was a stiff arm that it was for the ages. And, you know, I had just done a post on that a couple weeks ago, you know, before the Jaguars game. So it was good to see that come to fruition. And, man, Derrick Henry, he's something special. And you saw it on that run. And my favorite part of that was the reaction from the people on the sideline. You know, his teammates, Malcolm Butler and Bates, those guys definitely let Josh Norman know that it was a bad moment for him.
Poor Josh Norman. He's in these memes on the little folding tables.
Oh, awesome.
for the bill. Yeah, that's some good stuff. Well, let's stick with Derek. Yeah, let's stick with Derrick Henry. TD has not had the huge, you know, run yet. The big, you know, he's averaging, I think, 3.6 a carry right now. It hasn't all come together. When you look at him and the running game, is it, I'm sure it's a combination, of course, of factors. Teams focusing on it, stacking the box, maybe everything not quite operating at peak levels in terms of you know, the run blocking. Derek himself, how do you diagnose the run game right now?
Yeah, I think those seams and that ability to get to that second level isn't there as much right now. And it's just more like a methodical approach that they're taking. And it's crazy because after the Vikings game, Derrick Henry was leading the league in rushing. So it's not like the production isn't there, but we're so accustomed to seeing those explosive runs and those aren't happening. And this is one of those things, you know, the running game is something that you got to keep hammering at. And eventually you're going to break those runs. I'm looking forward to seeing them happen because they're fun to watch, but you're right. The timing has to get a little bit better. Being able to find those cutback lanes, they're going to have to just figure out better ways to keep linebackers from filling those lanes. So that's kind of what's happening. And it's a tough situation for Henry, but he's still producing and he's still being a factor in the outcome of the game.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Nate and TD, Teron Davenport, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, TD, we all know how good Deshaun Watson is, and it's obvious that Houston offense is missing DeAndre Hopkins. But what stands out to you about this offense that you think could potentially give the Titans some issues on Sunday?
Well, I think really it's about the speed that they have at receiver. You have Kenny Stills. You have Brandon Cooks as well as Will Fuller, all legit 4.3 guys. And it's not just some 4.3 track speed. It's speed that shows on the football field. So that really helps as far as giving Deshaun Watson someone that he could push the ball down the field to. And you saw what happened last week with Cooks, 161, one touchdown. And a couple times they hit on some big plays. So that's something that the Titans are going to have to watch out for. But then to add to that, you got David Johnson and Randall Cobb operating underneath. So it definitely gives them a lot to you know, make things happen. But the main thing is just Watson and just keeping him in the pocket and collapsing that pocket to him. He's a guy that is really good at freelancing. So once he is able to break that pocket and extend plays, that's when guys like Fuller and Stills, et cetera, can get open even more, especially Randall Cobb, because watch the way he did that with Green Bay. With Aaron Rodgers, one of the best at freelancing and extending plays.
What's your concern level, TD, with this team's health at this point? We saw a lot of guys who were on that sort of hypothetical injury list out there yesterday, but no A.J. Brown, no Clowney, no Daquan Jones. And you know, just the short week after the long layoff, after the emotional game, what's the concern level right now?
I don't think there should be much of a concern level. I mean, the guys just played a game after having all of that time off. So I think they're just making sure that everyone's light on their feet, everyone's okay, and can continue to recover. A.J. Brown, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I'm relatively certain that he's going to play and he'll still be a factor. You know, he's one of their best offensive weapons. Clowney, you know, he has his situation. He wasn't practicing yesterday, but I don't think that's going to be an issue either. I think the team will be in good shape. The main thing that people are waiting for, and rightfully so, is Adoree Jackson coming back. But at least this week they'll have Christian Fulton for that track meet against the Texans receivers.
TD, going back to Ryan Tannehill, I mean, his numbers since he took over as starting quarterback, we all know, they've just been pretty incredible. I think the NFL on CBS threw out this stat the other day, like comparing him and Mahomes in the last 14 games. Look, we know Russell Wilson's off to a great start, and Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes as well. Do you think there's any way, if Tannehill continues to play this way, that he at least puts himself into the conversation for league MVP, or is that too much?
To be honest with you, I think he should be in the conversation now. And the thing is, you got to look beyond the numbers. You have to look at just the impact that he has on the team. And what's the Titans' best feature right now? What is it that they do best at? Red zone. They are second in the league with 83% touchdowns on red zone scoring opportunities. So if you look at what Tannehill does, he's – okay, I'm going to throw a couple names at you. Drew Brees, Steve Young. Pretty solid players, right?
Those are good names.
So, yeah.
Good names.
Yeah. Well, Ryan Tannehill is in that class now of having a 70% completion percentage overall and then that in the red zone. So that lets you know what he's doing in the red zone. Then you look at he's in four games. He is in the top six as far as red zone touchdowns are concerned. He has 9 red zone touchdown passes. Aaron Rodgers is the only other player in that top six that hasn't played 5 games. And we could extend it even further to what he does as far as being able to run the football. And that's something that he's really good at as far as when things break down, he can scramble and he'll get you a touchdown like he did, minus the celebration. That was a scary moment for Titans fans, I'm sure. But that's something he brings. Then even just that threat, look at Jonathan Smith's touchdown, the 7-yarder. He attacked the line of scrimmage and that defender that was on Jonnu Smith after watching Tannehill gash him for 42 yards, the defender said, oh, you know what, I have to come up. And he came up and Tannehill just dropped it over him. Easy touchdown for Jonnu Smith. Those are the things that you have to watch. And for me, like, I wish those who vote for the MVP would go off of more than just numbers and actually see the intangible impact that a player has. And if you do that, you'll see that Ryan Tannehill is an MVP candidate. I can't believe I'm saying that because, you know, 2-3 years ago, I thought Tannehill was washed and I thought it was over for him.
Yeah, well, that's the key term there, TD, is watch, you know, and a lot of people don't. But, I mean, like anyone who, I mean, obviously, because of all these circumstances, they get put on Tuesday night. So I would assume a lot more people watch that game, you know, than would have otherwise. You know, he ends up with 195 yards, but they also have four short fields because of how the game works out. And I thought, I can't think of a pass in that game. I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two that I didn't like from him. You know, I think if people watch him, the guy is playing at a high level. I've also heard TD, I've heard system quarterback, which frankly, I don't understand how that term would even apply in this league. I mean, everybody's a system quarterback, but what do you think about that?
Exactly. Everybody's a system quarterback. In 1994, Steve Young, guess what he was? A system quarterback. But he had one of the best years ever for a quarterback. And I think, you know, Drew Brees, what is he? A system quarterback. All these guys are. And I think that's the whole thing that makes a player really good is that marriage between play caller and quarterback, and that's what the Titans have right now with Arthur Smith, who it's time to give him his props. the play design that he's putting together, as well as the rest of that coaching staff, you know, with shifts and motions and things like that. I mean, a lot of coordinators shift to get information, and that's something that the Titans do. But in addition to that, you see Arthur Smith doing shifts and motions to get guys in a better position to make plays. So it's a great marriage between the two. And, I mean, you want a good example, you look at the Ravens game, that play action to Cleve Raymond for the touchdown, they had a different play call on tap for that. But Tannehill was like, no, I don't like that one as much. I like this one. And look what happened. So being able to be flexible and not be like, oh, this is my system, we're going to do it my way, that's something else that helps and that relationship that they have. And that's why they're so good.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Nate and TD, Teron Davenport, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Hey, TD, appreciate you taking time to join us, man. Really appreciate the work you're doing.
Yeah, no problem, man. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Absolutely. It is pretty incredible. Like, when you do a deep dive into the numbers for Tannehill, and just the, like TD said there, the tangible impact that he has on the game, he is playing at a elite level right now for the Titans. He really is. I mean, he's been unbelievable.
Yeah. So all he's got to do is, I guarantee the MVP. I guarantee it. If he just take this four-game stretch and just do it.
Just replicate that.
4-0, 4-0, 4-0. You'll end up with 4,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, and 4 picks.
And a 16-0 record.
And a 16-0 record. You are the runaway MVP. That's all you got to do.
No pressure.
I think.
You think?
I mean,
you don't think that'd be enough?
Mahomes may still get Russell Wilson may still get a couple votes, but I think he'd win.
I think he probably would too. When we come back, we'll get your reaction. Looking ahead to the Titans and Texans game this Sunday, how concerned are you about this game against the Texans? Are you concerned at all? We'll talk about that next. Get it on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning. This is my song pick today. It's pretty good. I like to pat myself on the back.
I like it.
A little Mary J. Blige in here.
I like it.
Good stuff. Even Munson liked it. Munson's liked 6 songs I've ever chosen.
Yeah, I mean, Mary J. Blige is like one of my mom's favorites.
Yeah.
So. My buddy, by the way, texted in to me, to my text line, and said he gave props to Munson for the Skinner deep cut earlier. So,
The Hunt?
Yeah,
On the Hunt is
a good Skinner deep cut right there.
On the Hunt is probably my favorite Skinner bump music because of that. I like that part. It's an awesome song.
I think you played Working for MCA earlier, too. That's one of my favorite Skinner songs. Today's the last day of Prince Week for me.
No, it's not.
You're not going to go 2 weeks with it?
I think you should go 2 weeks with it, personally.
Yeah, I could, I guess. I don't know.
You could probably go 4 weeks with Prince.
Yeah, I mean, you could. Yeah, right. I mean, I could have gone longer with the Chili Peppers, too. I'll probably mix it up next week.
No.
Prince. No? Okay, well, I guess if you're going to make me play Prince, we'll play Prince.
Let's go to Twitter. Our good friend Bob tweets in, says, talent-wise, I'm not worried at all about the Texans. We should destroy them. My only concern is that it could be some kind of trap game coming off a great performance against the Bills. I do wonder, coming off a great win against the Bills, an emotional win against the Bills, are the Titans a little bit more zapped for energy on Sunday against the Texans?
One, like Ryan Tannehill said this week, right? Was it yesterday? Yeah. Or the day before? Yes, it was yesterday. You know, it's a totally different situation. Even though they couldn't practice for the Bills, they had more than enough time to look at everything in the game plan, to absorb it, to talk through this. The Bills do this here, they do this here, we're going to do this here. This is now a short week of everything. And I know it's a familiar opponent, but a short week, you're banged up to some extent after that long layoff, and you got a huge Steelers game next week, and also, two words, Deshaun Watson.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, Tannehill reminds me of a much more athletic Alex Smith, a game manager, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I do think he deserves to at least be in the MVP talk.
Hmm.
What do you make of that comp?
Well, I don't know that he's a much more athletic. Alex Smith was a heck of a – I mean, obviously now he's older and he's had the serious injury, but most of his career, Alex Smith was a heck of a running quarterback, right? I would say that Tannehill is absolutely more athletic than I think people realize. Definitely. I didn't think of Tannehill as any kind of a running QB with Miami. But again, that goes back to a lot of people looking at him now. How many full games of Tannehill in Miami did I actually watch?
Probably not many.
You know?
I'm not sure people in Miami watch many.
Well, yeah. I watched the Titans go beat them in 2016 when DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry ran all over him, and he wasn't great. But he's a better everything than I thought. And I think a lot of people still think some of the Miami stuff, which was overblown anyway, you know, I think that still kind of has followed him here. But that should be about over by now.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden text in, I think the Titans will have a little bit of a letdown, and they might start off slow in the game and let the Texans play closer to them than they would if they had a normal week. But in the end, the Titans will pull it out because they're just a better football team. I could see the game going that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense, and that would be a great outcome. I mean, if the Titans win this game in any form, to me, it's a big, big win. We talked already about this three-game stretch. After all that's gone on, what's a good outcome for the Titans? To me, I thought 1-2.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, who are three starters on each side of the ball that we could trade to make this team better now? Derrick Henry has already lost a step, so we got to take advantage this year of the opportunity.
Oh boy.
Just riding or dying strategy with J-Rob won't keep his job secure if we fail.
All right, come on. Is this like a Jags fan trolling us?
I don't think so.
So I want to make sure I heard that right. So trade Derrick Henry right now.
Just they didn't say trade Derrick Henry. They said who are three starters on each side of the ball that you could trade to make the team better and that Derrick Henry's lost a step. Do we think Derrick Henry's lost a step?
No.
I don't think so.
I think that on Tuesday, I thought there were a couple plays where I thought he was going to hit something and didn't. Is that him losing a step? Yeah, I think it's way too early to say he's lost up. He doesn't look as explosive right now as he did during the playoffs. But, again, some of that
also – I did
also,
just call a 50-plus yard touchdown.
You did. You did.
Here's three options for top players you could trade. Nobody, nobody, and nobody. How about that?
They're not trading any starters.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really
– not a trading league
it's
anyway.
It's not really, yeah, how you do it. And you know, so much of this is continuity with people, right? You got a 4-0 football team, man. You're trading all these starters? No, I mean – you know, what they need is for some of these starters, like Jadeveon Clowney, to do more.
Yes.
You know, they need some starters like Adoree Jackson to come back. I'm trying to think on offense, who is not performing well on offense? I mean, the offensive line's given up 3 sacks. They haven't run the ball as well as they want.
Still running it okay.
Humphreys, Davis, Janu. I mean, everyone's playing well.
I hadn't seen much out of Logan Woodside yet.
There you go. He's not a starter, but you,
yes,
if
I
they
know.
Traded
I'm
Logan
aware.
Woodside,
I'm
you
aware.
Could you could roll. Yeah, you could roll with that. By the way, they got Dane Cruikshank back
yes.
yesterday at practice. That's been a long time, and that it's a good special teams development for sure.
Joe, you mentioned seeing Adoree Jackson at practice yesterday, kind of doing some stuff on his own off the field there. What do you make of maybe him being back for the Pittsburgh game? You think that's a possibility at this point?
That's my. I probably should have called that shot. I could have called that shot. That's my prediction. In which case, that would be very timely in terms of that receiving core. Just guys, you know, the next two games, you know, that really and Roethlisberger is also a guy who is hard to bring down. Although I think the Titans will appreciate at least they'll be able to locate him in the pocket. Versus
you'll be able to see him
versus Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson. Those guys.
Well,
can
even
move.
Gardner Minshew, like Gardner Minshew, is so short, like you can't find him. Like
true.
Where is that guy? Where'd he go?
Right. With Roethlisberger, it'll be more like Kirk Cousins. Like we know where he'll be. It's a matter of getting to him. But great receivers. So yeah, I do. I think Adoree Jackson. I'm not guaranteeing that. I'm not reporting that. But
right.
I think it seems to be trending toward that.
Want to pass along some breaking news in the NFL? Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network pointing out. The Falcons have been cleared to reopen their facility. So yesterday had to shut down their facility. I think Schefter had the report originally that there were 4 positive tests. I think we found out later just 1 positive test that was a staffer, and now the Falcons clear to return to their facility today.
Because I got Justin Jefferson this week having a big
game.
And
let me tell you, that Atlanta defense is really bad. Justin Jefferson could have a huge day.
And I got
Adam Thielen, too.
And I got Kirk Cousins starting this week.
That's a good week to do. That's not a bad play. Madison will have a big game, I bet.
Let's hope not.
Oh, you going against you
going
him?
Up against him?
Well, I'm not, but I didn't get to pick him up. So.
Oh, yes. Munson was very upset that he didn't get a chance to pick him up in waivers.
Yeah, I mean, I was fine with it. I'm like, it's cool. I've seen some other, you know, dumpster fire dumps in that white waiver wire, so I picked those up instead.
Oh, yeah, the Julian Edelman one.
Oh, great. I didn't get Julian Edelman.
Did you not get him?
I didn't get Julian. Which was fine because Julian Edelman would have just been like an extra wide receiver that I just kept on the bench just to, like, you know, get other people frustrated.
Yeah, we need to have a fantasy football training session for your league.
Well, maybe we'll
do
that.
You should
bit.
Have done that as commissioner.
Well, somebody. Well,
how much responsibility are you trying to put on Munson as commissioner? You know how much he's done for these people in this league?
Yeah.
But it's more fun if it's competitive,
no,
right?
No, it's not.
Okay.
At some point, you got to do things on your
Joe,
own.
Joe, what is competitive? Like, there was somebody yesterday in our fantasy group chat that talked about how, look, oh, I guess this week I have to play Andy Dalton and somebody else, he said. And I was like, well, it's much better than the equivalent of, like, you know, playing on backup running backs.
Yeah.
Like, I've been over the last couple weeks, and I'm still 4-1 with backup running backs. Come on now. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Very disappointed for losing a game in that league.
When we come back, we'll have a fantasy football advice segment as well. As we know, we've led you to some victories. We'll also take your questions on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. First, Joe, you have a word from FanDuel.
I do, and if anybody missed it, they've got a multi-year partnership for NBA on TNT. Huge potential there. Of course, FanDuel has figured out how to merge sports betting and live sports on a national scale, push the basketball watching experience to the next level. Very impressive there, and of course, in Tennessee here, sports betting is very close, and there's an exclusive offer from FanDuel to get you started. $50 in free bets. All you have to do is sign up. $50, you get free site credit. You register and verify early, no deposit required. I've done it. I'm ready for it to go live, and the credit will be there on the number one sports betting site. And they're the number one sports betting site for a reason. They have odds on all the biggest sports. They've got a simple, intuitive app. Makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and lock it in. And unlike other sports books, you get your cash in as little as 24 hours when you win. That's the right thing to do. And the right thing for you to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Check out the app for yourself. Sign up, register, use promo code Joe, J-O-E, not like Joe from the Facts of Life, so they know that we sent you. So you verify your account, $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live, promo code Joe. And that's when it's live, $50 site credit. And you must be, of course, 21 or older and present in Tennessee. The site credit is non-withdrawable, expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for gambling problem support, call 1-800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown location this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're going to have Shane Bowen and Arthur Smith scheduled to speak for the Titans around 8:40, so make sure you stick around for that. But we've got some fantasy football to get to here, Joe, and let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark from Clarksville text in, flex spot question in a PPR league. Would you start T. Higgins, T.Y. Hilton, or Jerry Jeudy? Those are some intriguing choices you've got there.
T.Y. Hilton hasn't really done anything.
He hadn't,
right?
He hadn't had a good year.
How much is Higgins getting targeted lately? I dropped him like an idiot.
Oh, yeah, it's all right. He's projected to get 11 points this week.
Yeah.
And
now you're going up against the Colts, and their defense is pretty good.
But so it's all about, like, which defense are you more concerned about? Because, I mean, Jerry Judy's going up against, you know, Stephon Gilmore. And
yeah.
Because think about it like this. The Broncos have nobody wide receiver-wise. I think their tight ends will probably play a lot better than their wide
receivers.
And
Fant is questionable, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always interesting, too, because, like, how is a game going to go? Because if you feel like the guy in question is on a team that's going to be behind multiple scores in the fourth quarter, well, that team is going to loosen up, and you can get a whole bunch of little dink and dunk receptions for a guy, right? So So you're talking about Judy at New England, talking about Higgins against Indy, and remind me the other one?
T. Higgins.
T. Higgins gets Indy, Jerry Judy, and then T. Y. Hilton.
Judy. And Judy, and they're playing – oh, yeah, Hilton. Yeah, okay, so it's the same game. Right, right, right. I kind of like the idea. If you feel like the team is definitely going to lose and be behind late, I'd go that way. So I think I'd go Higgins.
Yeah, like when you look at Higgins' stats so far in PPR league, 21 points, 13 points, and 10 points. Last week he had 62 yards against pretty much a Ravens defense that shut that whole offense completely.
And I bet you, and without knowing, but I bet you a bunch of those points were in the fourth quarter when the Ravens backed off. And
hey, man, they all count the same.
Exactly. No, that's the some of the best fantasy players on bad teams.
Now, let me ask you guys this, because I think this is an interesting question right now. You know, everybody drafted Ryan Tannehill this year, and he's largely been a backup fantasy quarterback. I mean, obviously, your Lamar Jacksons, your Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, those guys typically go as the starters. Is Tannehill playing at the level right now? Even though the offense the Titans run is different and he has to do different things on a weekly basis, is he a starting fantasy quarterback in your mind at this point?
It's tough because, again, last game. So it pays off to start him because he throws for three and runs one in.
Right.
He also only throws for 195 yards. He's great throwing for 195 yards. It's just that they're a good team. They're going to be ahead more. So he's not going to get those garbage time 80 yards in the fourth quarter, right, usually. And they are still so run-centric that, it's interesting. But that shows you the difference in fantasy and actual football. I think he's a fringe guy. Because week to week, you don't know he's throwing for 300.
Oh, certainly not. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, the what they ask him to do changes on a week-by-week basis.
The red zone
is pretty good.
Red zone TD passes. Yeah, if you get those, right.
An interesting decision to make this week in your leagues if you've got Melvin Gordon as well. He got in trouble with the DUI, was at practice yesterday, participated fully in practice. I mean, there hasn't been any suspension yet. I mean, I think there was a report yesterday the NFL might not suspend Melvin Gordon until maybe mid-November. So, is he going to play this week? Like, right now, he's projected in my ESPN league to have 0 points, but he practiced full yesterday. Is Melvin Gordon going to play?
Yeah,
what's going on there?
If it's an NFL suspension, I assume they just wait for the suspension, right? They're not going to add the Broncos aren't going to hurt themselves, and it's not like the NCAA investigation.
Yeah.
They're just going to lose an extra game, so I would assume he'd play.
Yeah, but also –
which I need him not to for Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, I mean, Philip Lindsay, yeah, that's what I was just about to say. That would be good for Philip Lindsay fantasy owners. I will say this, though, a move I did make. I did pick up Le'Veon Bell.
That's not a bad pickup right now.
And sat him on my bench. Because, I really think, and I know, Clyde's Elair is going to be still going to get
sure.
his points. It's going to be similar, I hope, fingers crossed, it's similar to the Browns situation where they had Nick Chubb getting a lot of points in fantasy, and then you also had Kareem Hunt, which is a second string, also getting a lot of points. Now, mind you, Patrick Mahomes throws a little bit more than them, but especially if you don't have a guy like Sammy Watkins, and I don't know how long he's going to be gone for. Le'Veon Bell's a pretty smart pickup, especially if you got Hardman and just, Tyreek Hill as your wide receiver. So I think it's a smart pickup if you pick up Le'Veon Bell. He's not going to play this week because he has to quarantine for 5 days, I think.
Yeah.
So,
but he's not available in leagues where people know how to play fantasy football.
Well, somebody dropped him in our league.
Well, of course they did. They probably dropped Patrick Mahomes.
No, they didn't do that.
It's a little extreme.
I want some names of these people in your league.
You can still make trades
by
Joe.
First name.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point where if you're right on the fence, you got to make a decision about, is it time to start selling off? Especially, I'm in a keeper league in one of my leagues, and it's not going well right now. And I'm thinking, am I selling off? Am I getting some draft capital for next year?
See, that's I've never played in a keeper league. I might, that does not sound fun to me.
General manager.
I might switch it up and make this a keeper's league so I can keep Christian McCaffrey.
Just make an executive decision halfway through the year. That's how it's done.
Yeah. By the way, this is a keeper league.
Way.
If you want to keep Patrick Mahomes, cool. I'm going to keep Christian McCaffrey. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll hear from Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith and de facto defensive coordinator Shane Bowen. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexrode on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning.
Going to join Shane Bowen and Arthur Smith from the Titans here in just a few minutes. Our live press conferences on ESPN 102.5 The Game are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Interested to see what they have to say today. A short week, obviously, get the win against Buffalo on Tuesday. Short turnaround against Houston on Sunday. A chance to go to 5-0. And basically, you win this game against Houston, they're done in the division. 1-5, it's just going to be hard to come back from at that point.
It'd be hard. I'm not calling them done.
I am. I'm calling them done. I'm comfortable with it. I'm comfortable setting myself up to potentially just get hammered later in the season. I'm cool with it.
Well, it'd be the story of the league if they weren't done. So you'd probably be right.
You went through their schedule yesterday. It's going to be pretty hard.
Yeah. It's actually amazing how things have broken for them with schedule.
It's impressive. You still got the Packers down the line. I mean, the first two games were as tough as they were, but it doesn't get a whole lot easier for them moving forward. Like, who knows what the Colts will look like against them. Big game for the Houston Texans on Sunday.
Oh, look at this pretty face that just popped up on Zoom. Yeah, Joe Rexroad.
Look at that. Joe Rexroad?
Look at that glamour shot.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah.
Your multitasking abilities are fantastic.
I'm ready. We're here. We got to put up the chat. So I'll keep you guys informed on the chat.
All right, let's go to Shane Bowen, who is on the line now with the Titans. Our live press conferences on ESPN 102.5 The Game are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Here is Titans coach Shane Bowen. Arthur Smith coming up after that, meeting with the media on 102.5 The Game.
And maybe take us through the last week for you.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Just glad to be back to football finally and getting back with these guys and preparing and getting ready for another game, but health is good, feeling good. I'm really just excited to be back to work and back with these guys and playing ball again.
Jim, you want to get a score?
Yes, Shane. Just following up a little bit there. How much were you able to do, I guess, during the stretch when you were battling the infection and this team was trying to gear up to play football?
Yeah, I mean, everything – just like in the spring, we were virtual. So really, I think that kind of helped us just in terms of dealing with this because we had some experience doing it all spring. So, I mean, I had my laptop. I had all the film, all the game plan stuff, obviously Zoom. So it was very much like the spring in that regard, able to do everything that I could. Obviously, that Sunday game day didn't really have much to do. But other than that, was able to do everything.
I don't know if you can adjust your lighting at all, but it's hard to see you. There we go. Terry?
Shane, talk about the process, I guess, of having to delegate the responsibilities, especially on game day while you were out, and how that process went along as far as trying to make sure everybody was on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, like I've said before, I think we got a great defensive staff. Obviously, Mike's called plays before. I don't think they really missed a beat. I mean, we had the whole game plan in. We had talked through everything. And then ultimately, Saturday morning, the news came, and it was what it was. But, I mean, these assistant coaches on this defensive staff, that they're pros, like they've done it a long time. They understand what it is. We collaborate on everything. Like I've told you guys in the past, like it's not just me, Mike, whoever, like we're all in this together. So I think that it was a pretty easy transition in that regard when I was not able to be there in Minnesota.
Teresa?
Shane, glad that you're feeling better now, but how long were you until you were able to rejoin the team, or when the facility opened last week, were you able to come back then, and what kind of symptoms were you dealing with? We've heard Daquan had some headaches. Jeffrey said that he lost his sense of taste and smell. What were you dealing with?
Yeah, so just in terms of the protocol, I was able to come back last week when we opened back up. And then symptom-wise, like for a couple of days there, it was probably just some chills, a little bit of a cough. Never really had any headaches, never had any trouble breathing, nothing like that. But a little bit of a little bit of just chills. Not, I wouldn't even say my fever was really high at all. And it really just lasted a couple of days. Nothing too dramatic for me.
John?
Shane, yeah, I'm wondering if you could actually maybe go back to that Saturday morning before the Minnesota game. I mean, when you test positive, you know, does that come as a complete shock? And then kind of, you know, what happened after that for you? How did things work?
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea. Had no symptoms when I got the news. So, yeah, it was shocking. I mean, I'm packed up. I got my bag. I got my suit. I'm ready to get on the plane and get ready to go find a way to win a game. And then this comes out. So, I mean, it was difficult. Obviously, not being able to be there with the players, with these coaches and all that. And then really from there, it was straight into quarantine. Kind of that was really it. Like, I had my computer. I had all that stuff with me, so I was able to do stuff. I honestly started on Pittsburgh that Saturday on my own, just not knowing where this thing was going to go. But I mean, as soon as I got the news, I was straight into quarantine, and that was that.
Gotcha. Well, glad you're better. And one football question for you. In terms of sacks, I'm sure you'd like to see a few more than what the team has done so far. And, you know, I guess when a team is low in sacks, automatically people point at the edge guys. Do you need to see more in terms of production from Clowney and Beasley and the others on the edge?
I mean, obviously, in terms of production, I want those guys to get sacks, absolutely. I think they're close. I think just the consistency with those guys and rushing in our plan and what we're trying to do. I mean, obviously, last week we missed a few that would have helped us get off the field on third down. But, I mean, give credit to Josh Allen. He's a tough, big dude who's elusive and makes the plays. And we got probably an even bigger challenge this week with Deshaun, just trying to get him down. But, yeah, I think ultimately, hopefully, these guys can keep rushing a little bit more consistently in their plan. And hopefully those things come and we can stop being a step or two away and we can get home.
Thanks. Eric?
Hey, Shane, just wanted to ask about Derek Roberson, how he's coming along. Do you expect him to be ready by this weekend? And what kind of impact can he have once he gets back?
Yeah, I mean, he's coming. He's healthy. He's been practicing. I mean, obviously, we haven't really been practicing much. But this week, he's been out there. He's been going. So I'm expecting him to play a little bit for us. And we'll kind of see where it goes as the game goes and where everything's at. But I think he's been improving just his understanding and some of that stuff. So whenever he gets his opportunity, man, I'm excited to see what he does with it.
Paul?
Hey, Shane, glad you're well. You guys did a great job with the 8-man in coverage and against Buffalo, against speedy receivers. I know you're hoping Fulton's back this week. How have you managed to contain some speed receivers when you're lacking some speed in the secondary without a Dory, without full last game?
Yeah, I mean, I think our plan going in was just to try to change it up on them a little bit and give them some different looks. And I mean, just what you call to try to at times protect those guys and just a little bit just change the picture on them, whether it's receivers having to read coverages and understand what you're in. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just always the quarterback. So just in terms of those guys outside with some speed, having to possibly adjust and recognize things as it goes. But the guys did a good job and they executed what we were trying to do. And like, we ask a lot of them, it's not easy. Like, just their understanding, they see a bunch of different books. We're asking them to do a bunch of different things, play a bunch of different techniques. And they were able to go out there and execute for the most part.
Jim?
Shane, how much does your familiarity with the Texans help this week from your time there? And just what kind of a challenge does Deshaun Watson present to defenses?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think there's probably more familiarity just from playing them now the past couple of years and kind of how they've evolved. Because to be honest, I think they've changed quite a bit since when I was – when I was there, just being there that first year with Deshaun, and then he got injured. So I think really just over the past couple of years playing him, it's probably been more beneficial than even my time there. And then Deshaun, man, he's a special talent. Like he does everything that you're looking for in a playmaker. He keeps plays alive. He extends plays. He's tough to bring down. I think he's smart. He kind of sees what's going on. He knows where to attack coverages and whatnot. So, I mean, we're going to have our hands full with him. It's going to be a challenge for us. We got to do a good job trying to get him on the ground when we get our opportunities.
Shane, what was your feeling and your thoughts as you maybe saw people kind of taking shots at the organization and everybody saying that you guys have been reckless in handling the COVID? Obviously, it didn't sound like from your perspective that that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation that happened. You know, everybody's going to have their opinion one way or another. I don't know if it's been an issue for a lot of people, not just in the football world. I don't really have an opinion on their thoughts. I don't care. I'm more concerned with the guys here, the coaches here, the everybody within this organization more so than what's going on outside. I think it's really about us as a team and whatever else, more so than what anybody else thinks of us outside, good or bad.
Thanks, Shane. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.
That was Titans outside linebackers coach and de facto defensive coordinator Shane Bowen there addressing some of the COVID issues he's gone through, as well as some defensive things on the other side of the ball for the Titans.
In a very dark room.
Yes. Very dark room. Couldn't see him there for a second, but they made sure to correct that. Make sure you got him in there.
So, yeah, he was that was a good question by Glennon there on the actual how it went down. So he actually had his bags all packed and everything on that Saturday, September 26th, when he tested positive, right to quarantine. Obviously, wasn't part of that game, but was pretty much a part of the game planning.
Let's get in there and let's go to Arthur Smith, presented by Pella Windows and Doors. You can hear Arthur Smith now on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We'll just jump right in. Jim, you want to get started?
Hey, Arthur, I'm going right to, I guess, Ryan's touchdown celebration, because it looked like you had a little bit of fun with him on the sideline, but probably it scared you a little bit too. What'd you say to him, and did your heart skip a beat when you saw his landing?
Yeah, I just kind of shaking my head and just asked him, please don't do that again. So we were all kind of giving him a hard time. So feel fortunate that it just looked awkward.
And just overall, just how he's kind of picked up where he left off last season, is that just based on his continued work and preparation, and how comfortable does he seem operating your offense right now?
Well, I think he's doing a great job with our offense. I mean, he's like all of us, we're just trying to improve. I'm trying to improve every week, and Ryan is, and that's kind of our mentality. And he's done a nice job so far, and we just got to continue to work at it, because as we know, it's – week to week, and you can be humble quick if we don't constantly look to improve.
Luke?
Derek's longest run so far this season, Arthur, is just 16 yards, and I think we're all used to him busting the long ones more often than that. What do you see as some of the factors that have prevented the long runs that maybe we're used to with him?
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, when you're looking at the run game, and there's certainly – a lot of things, obviously, there's variables that can happen, right? There's 22 players out on the field, and depending on what they're doing defensively and matchups somewhere inside and how they're trying to play it structurally, and we obviously commit to it. And I think, you know, just look from years past, eventually, as you get throwing it, going through this, and as we get more in a rhythm in the run game, I would bet that we'll see some start to pop. But as long as we can stay efficient and keep trying to improve, we got plenty of work to do at all positions in the run game, and I can certainly do a better job, and that's really where our mindset's at.
I want to ask you about toss plays, because you guys have run those a handful of times this year. What do you see as the benefit, just generally speaking, of running a toss rather than maybe a standard inside or outside zone play?
Well, you're talking about What scheme? You talking about toss? You talking about just the ball inning? You talking about the – is there a particular scheme you're talking
like
about?
Like a sweep or an outside toss to Derek.
You know, I won't get into specifics of scheme. There's multiple schemes where we toss the ball as a ball handling. So to answer your questions specifically, is there a certain scheme or just overall the ball handling? That's what I'm asking you so I can answer your question properly.
Just overall toss plays to the edge instead of like a traditional handoff, maybe up the middle or a guard or a stretch or something like that.
Well, yeah, they're not all designed to the edge, but we have multiple ways to do that. That's something just like our run game that needs to improve. You know, certainly you try to carry over things that you did well last year. You know, we just got to be more efficient in it. It was a certain schemes that we tossed it were definitely more effective last year. Obviously, we scored a couple times. Chargers, Raiders pop off my head. We had an explosive against the Bucks. New had one for 57 against the Texans, if you're talking about that scheme. And so that's why sometimes you're looking at toss, but we do multiple things out of it. So that's why I was asking if you could get more specific.
We did have one question. Luke, are you good?
Yeah, you're good. Thank you.
Art, if you could back up just a hair, just so
gotcha.
There we go. John?
Hey, Arthur, a couple for you. One on Isaiah, you know, getting back out on the field here recently. Is it, you know, after missing so much time, is it almost a question of sort of starting from scratch again with him and sort of what is his, you know, progress been like since coming back?
You know, it's – glad he's back out there and just kind of have to evaluate it as he goes from day to day. And we'll see, you know, hopefully he does, like a lot of these guys, he gets back in there and evaluate how he looks after practice. And ultimately, you know, obviously Braves will make that call. John.
Sure. Other one I had, you know, you guys haven't suffered many sacks, obviously credit to a lot of different portions of the team, but I wonder if Ryan, you know, has a significant role in that himself. Do you see him improving in that regard in terms of maybe getting rid of the ball sooner or you know, even throwing the ball away on occasion?
Yeah, it's just a, you know, like pass protection. We talk about the run game, you know, a lot of times you focus on it and it gets stuffed and you're like, oh, you know, the line didn't block. And sometimes it's as simple as that. And other times it's, well, hey, we missed something on the perimeter or you know, our track or whatever. So there's a lot of things. Same with the pass game. You know, if we're not getting off the ball outside on the perimeter, that's part of the pass protection. Depends, you know, up front, the timing, guys getting open, getting rid of the ball. It all comes into play. So we just, everything we evaluate from week to week, where can we get better? And that's certainly one that's trending in the right direction. We just got to keep it going.
Thanks.
James Palmer.
Arthur, how much of what you guys do down in the red zone and what Ryan can do with his legs is part of a design that he has that option, or how much of it is just when he takes off and sees something?
It's both. You know, if you know, he's athletic enough where if it's there, he's shown that he can take it and be productive with it. And then some of the stuff's designed. It's both.
Okay. And then often you guys run play action. How much, obviously, everything has to look, try to make it look similar to everything else you do, to the way Ryan sells it. What is the work you guys put into that to where it looks to a defense every time the same with the way he does it?
Yeah, it's just the details of the plays and doing the little things everywhere across the board. And it really literally does. I know it sounds cliche. It takes all 11 guys from everything and, you know, how they come off the ball, how we're playing, running back, the quarterbacks, all the stuff, the releases. It all goes together, and it's something we constantly try to work on and improve.
Thanks, Jim.
Go ahead. Are you done, Jim?
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Gentry?
Yeah, Arthur, when you get the word that you're no longer able to come back in the facility in the middle of preparations like that, like, what do? You have stuff in your office that you would need. I mean, how did you adjust? And is this platform built to do everything you want to do in terms of study and what you're trying to teach?
Yeah, I think it's certainly the time in society. I guess we're better equipped probably in a lot of professions to handle in 2020, just with modern technology, with obviously with Wi-Fi, cloud technology, I mean, all that stuff helps. You know, if this was 20 years ago, it'd probably be a major problem. But with the way stuff is and the fact that, you know, you can get as much information on this little device as you know, as you can on a old big computers is pretty amazing. So that translates, and like everything, you know, we got to adjust to the situation. So once Rabe says, hey, here's a plan, I look at it as, hey, we got to go make this work, and I don't waste any time on what we can't do. I just try to figure things out.
Did you go into Tuesday night with everything available to you that you would have wanted to be? I mean, were you prepared enough?
Yeah, we felt, you know, this is what the situation was, and we looked at everything and what makes sense, and depending on what we could do and what we had done in the past. And so felt very confident in our guys.
Time for a couple more, Buck.
Hey, Arthur. As offenses have evolved and defenses have had to adapt to keep up over the last couple of years, are you seeing more of a willingness by defenses to allow yardage if they can do more to scheme and confuse quarterbacks to create turnovers, things of that nature?
You know, you'd have to ask those defensive play callers. I think it's just their approach, you know, you know, how teams play Kansas City or how they'll play us is pretty different. And, you know, you see a lot of, and it's got to be who you're playing, some schemes, if they're going to be heavy coverage and, you know, they're going to rely on, you know, trying to two gap up front, or you got people that are just going to be aggressive and try to make you pull the ball out and send pressure. I mean, there's multiple philosophies. So I think it varies from team to team and how they feel they match up against a particular offense.
Thank you.
Terry?
With the way that Ryan and Jonnu worked together during the off season down in Florida, has that been a big factor, you think, in that Ryan has found Jonnu so many times now, especially in the red zone?
I think a lot of that, yeah, I think it certainly helped. You know, it's not the only reason. I mean, nothing ever is, you know, it's just not just one thing. It's a credit to Jonnu, it's a credit to Ryan. And then a lot of times, you know, you kind of have the hot hand, and, you know, it's not like, it's, you know, we don't isolation and this is who it is. I think it just naturally kind of evolves, and there's trust that's built between quarterbacks and certain receivers. And there's other ones too, but maybe they've taken it away and here's what popped open. So I certainly think it helps. It doesn't hurt.
Last one, Emily.
Hey, Art, you talked about preparing virtually. Ryan Tannehill said after the game that you had to have some coaches step in as DBs. How unique was preparing, even when you were able to, in person?
Yeah, it's just, we looked at it as another opportunity, and it's a challenge, and you got to embrace it. And, you know, those are the unsung heroes. I know Rabe's talked about it, and it's a credit to him and the culture that we have. And, you know, guys like Chandler Henley and Luke Steckel and grabbing guy, anybody that could, was willing from the scouting department to the weight room. And that's just what you have to do. And I think it's a testament to the culture here that Rabe and John have set and everybody's mentality. Just try to find a way.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate your time.
That was Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith and also outside linebackers Coach Shane Bowen. Our live press conferences on ESPN 102.5 The Game are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. When we come back, we'll react to both Shane Bowen and Arthur Smith, their comments here in those press conferences. That's next. First, make sure you're tuning in tonight. ESPN The Game Nashville has your coverage of the MLB playoffs presented by Gary Force Acura. Tonight on 102.5 The Game, catch Game 5 of the NLCS series as the Braves take on the LA Dodgers at 8 p.m. We'll be right back on ESPN 102.5 The Game.